Asian China convened their inaugural 2+2 ministerial meeting in Beijing, marking China's first such dialogue with another nation. The two countries agreed to establish a comprehensive strategic security dialogue mechanism, encompassing military cooperation, cybersecurity, and joint efforts against transnational crimes like online fraud. They also committed to enhancing maritime security coordination between their coast guards and reaffirmed the importance of implementing the Declaration of Conduct and expediting the negotiation of the Code of Conduct in South China Sea. The Central Kalimantan Family Welfare Empowerment Team is urging women to prioritize early detection of breast cancer, a leading cause of female mortality in Indonesia. In collaboration with Silawan Hospital Palangkaraya, they recently offered free ultrasound screenings as part of the National Selangkah Program, which has reached over 33,000 women nationwide. PPPKK Chair Aisha Tisia Agustia Sabran emphasized the importance of regular health checks and plans to expand outreach and education efforts, particularly in rural areas. And that was the news. overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia broadcast inline language services English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and by streaming on voanews.id and RFE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. People on people, the fashion, Indonesian wonder, history, let's speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian pop and regional songs, international musical entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. And welcome to this special interview of VOI Talk on Voice of Indonesia. And right now, we are currently, of course, living on the planet we call home, called Earth. And in 2025, Earth Day carries the theme of our power, our planet. The theme emphasizes the importance of shared responsibility between communities, organizations, and governments to switch to renewable energy to build a more sustainable future. And right now, with the VOI Talk, the title, How Can We Save the Earth? We have a special guest. He is Aang Darmawan, the Advisor for Energy, UNDP Indonesia. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Yes, good morning. I'm fine, thank you. Yourself, nice.
Yes, I'm fine as well. And without any further ado, I would like to say, and how is the condition of our Earth today?
Yeah, I mean, if you're asking about the condition of our Earth today, we need to make a reference or kind of, you know, baseline. So if we are analyzing this condition, we need to check with the climate and weather, as this has been agreed by all of the countries around the world under the UNFCCC, that we need to try to keep the temperature increasing of the Earth by 1.5 up to 2050. And if this we compare to the condition before the industrial level, which is around in 1900, our temperature has been increased by around 1.1 Celsius above this pre-industrial level. So it means that we need to really put our strong effort to keep this increasing of the temperature. Otherwise, we will have difficulties to maintain the climate change impact around the globe.
Okay, so speaking of that, what should people do, especially the citizens in Indonesia, to keep the Earth in good shape?
Yes, according to the UNDP's climate promise, countries like Indonesia must urgently enhance and implement ambitious NDCs, the climate by the Paris Agreement goal of limiting warming to below 1.5 Celsius. This involves drastically reducing greenhouse gas emission, increasing climate adaptation efforts, and mobilizing sufficient finance to support this action. UNDP, including Indonesia, has helped the countries in 140 countries in designing and executing world climate policies focused on mitigation, adaptation, carbon market, and forest conservation, collective global cooperation space from major emitters, and also integrating climate goals into national document planning, such as in Indonesia. So I think these are some of our efforts that can help the country stay in a good shape.
Okay, is there any real impacts, like immediate impacts, if the so-called the Earth is sick?
Yeah, I mean, the immediate impact of this condition, as well as we've been experiencing also in Indonesia, is the more frequent natural disaster. The easiest impact that we are also witnessing is like the floods, the drought, long drought in the Sahara region in Indonesia, and also the difficulty to manage what is the harvest in Indonesia because of this long drought season, or there are more floods in the region in Indonesia. And we also seeing that the climate change impact may reduce our biodiversity. In some forestry region in Indonesia, this also been impacted by the utilization of the forest area for the human activity. So I think the impact is not good for Indonesia in the longer term, because we also will have experiencing the increasing of the sea level that will have the impact for our population that live in the coastal area.
Okay, so based on this year's theme, according to you, how far has Indonesia been developing renewable energy resources?
According to the data from the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Indonesia, from my opinion, still need more and strong effort in optimizing the renewable energy resources. According to the government regulation on national energy policy, 2014, Indonesia actually is targeting to reach around 23% of a total primary energy supply by 2025. However, until last year, until 2024, Indonesia only reached around 50% of this target, and only targeting organic thing to reach between 17-19% by 2025. So, the same condition also happened in the power plant sector. If we are, referring this target to the power plant sector, actually, the electricity generation in Indonesia up to 2024, around 85% is still using or utilizing the fossil fuel. And this is only, this is really kind of quite big compared to the global energy problem that's only generating around 15% of this installed capacity in Indonesia. So I think, according to this condition or this data, Indonesia is still a far short of the what is the target.
Okay, so what are the current challenges in the development of the renewable energy?
According to our understanding, the main issue of the renewable energy deployment in Indonesia is because of the uneven playing field, right? If we compare with the fossil fuel utilization, the playing field for the fossil fuel is still receiving the subsidy. If you are using, for example, vehicle, most of our vehicles until now still utilizing the gasoline or the diesel of fuel, right? And it's still receiving the subsidy. Similarly to the power plant, the coal power plant still receiving indirect subsidy from the government by capping the coal price target, meaning that the power plant that's still utilizing coal is still receiving the price cap of the coal by around $70 per ton. And in contrast, there is no quote-unquote subsidy that's received by the renewable energy power plant. So I think this is unfair for the renewable energy development in Indonesia. So I think this is the main issue, the challenge to the development of the renewable energy in Indonesia, I'm saying.
I see. But in development of managing renewable energy, since it has challenges, and have countries invested enough renewable energy? And if not, what is stopping them for investing themselves to us?
Okay, but again, I'm using the data from the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources. According to their data in 2024, the investment on renewable energy is only reached $1.7 billion. and this is quite small compared to the investment on the oil and gas sector, which is reached $17.5 billion.
That's
so
right.
This is around 10% of the oil and gas. We haven't ending up the investment for the coal sector, for example. So this is to show that we have not enough investing in global energy, and we need to accelerate this investment on global energy. So I think again, the way that we can suggest maybe for accelerating investment on global energy to reform the pricing policy of global energy.
Okay, so what can be done to push more people to invest in renewable energies? There are some kinds of tactics and marketing strategies for getting that investment.
Yeah, in Indonesia, the development of renewable energy is really kind of a policy driven from the government. So I think if we want to push people to invest in renewable energy, we need to have a strong regulation coming from the government. But in the same time, we need to have the innovation from the investor, including from the society, from the community. Because if we only waiting the strong regulation coming from the government, yes, that would be a good basis for everyone to want to invest in renewable energy. But sometimes the regulation also can be kind of, you know, challenged by the innovative approach of renewable energy development. I think there's a lot of some cases outside of the energy sector, for example, in the transport sector, when there's innovative and utilizing the public transport, for example, but then the government still behind providing the regulation. So I think if we can play this kind of strategy by maybe some people, some communities, really quite innovative when using or utilizing renewable energy, and then the government can provide more favorable regulation to allow more development on renewable energy. I think this is kind of from the community basis innovative system on utilizing renewable energy, mostly. But again, if you're talking about a big business like renewable energy power plant, I think yes, still, number one is there's a strong investment-friendly regulation from the government, so they will be encouraged for investment, mostly.
I see. And how far is Indonesia from reaching the target of carbon emission reduction since the program has started like 2 years ago?
So this is quite interesting, Masai. According to the information that we have been accessed from the Ministry of Environment, I think around 1 or 2 weeks ago when we had the internal discussion, interestingly, Indonesia, most of the sector that being targeted to reduce emissions reached the target, the annual target, I mean, right? So meaning that Indonesia is a good track in what is reaching the target by 2030. But this is still the first plan from the government. We still need to clarify whether this is really kind of, you know, aligned with the target, or we need to have more efforts. However, there are some sector, right? There are some sector that need to have a strong, stronger effort to reach this. So especially in the coal sector, must say, we know that the coal, the forest, and also land utilization, Indonesia is one of the biggest contributors of the emission. The number that we receive from the Minister of Environment and Minister of Forestry, actually the coal sector reached the target. But if we keep in the effort at kind of business as usual, we are kind of, you know, worried that if we still use this business as usual, maybe next year or the next year, we will fall short of our target. Meaning that we need to double our effort, and maybe some of the area we need to triple our effort to keep maintaining this emission reduction target, must say.
Okay, so for the final question, I would like to ask, for the grassroots level and for the nation level, what can we do about the renewable energy? Is it better for like the people, the citizens, start using electric vehicles for their daily transportation? And for the nation level, is there anything that you want to say to improve the renewable energy?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, that from the community level, we can start utilizing some of the local renewables that, you know, available in our area. For example, if we are living in the rural area, such as in the villages, maybe we can utilize the hydro potential to be generated as the power plant, to be generated for electricity purposes, which is required in energy systems for the mini or micro hydro. In the, city, I mean, as you just mentioned, that we can start using the electric vehicle. I think most of the big cities in Indonesia now already have the electric charging station, so to encourage people to use more electric vehicles, such as motorcycle and also cars, electric car and electric motorcycle. So I think these are some effort that can be taken by the community. But again, I also mentioned in my previous answer to your question, and how the people can do the innovation. And I think we are seeing that some of the our youth, young generation, is quite innovative. They have some startups, I'm sorry, to promote the utilization of renewable energy in the smaller scale. For example, there are some startups and companies that is for installing the solar PV, I think, in the city's area, right? And also there are some young generation that have startups in providing the energy efficiency measurement by providing, for example, efficient lighting, efficient appliances in the building. So I think with all of this effort taken by the community and supported by the strong regulation from the government, we still have a big expectation that renewable energy, and also we also must remember, energy transition is not only talking about renewable energy deployment, but also energy efficiency measurement. What is energy efficiency? Energy efficiency is the smallest activities reducing our electric consumption in the household, and this is part of the energy transition. So I think with all of this effort, we still have the biggest expectation that Indonesia will reach the target of renewable energy utilization, referring to the early government target.
Okay, so I would like to ask a little bit of more question. About the remote areas, is there any renewable energy from the government that is going to be starting to provide, like you mentioned before, electric vehicle charging and then like spreading through solar panels and everything through in the rural areas, since it's not a big city and it's not easily reached by many citizens?
Yes, UNEP has a past experience in providing the rural electrification project, must say. Our last project for access, accelerated rural energy deployment, can reduce inequality, succeed installing communal solar PV in 22 remote villages across 4 provinces in Indonesia. With our experience, UNDP is helping the government to providing the electricity access in this remote area. So again, referring to my previous answer that the local community, especially in the remote area of villages, I think the best way for them to start using or accessing the electricity is utilizing their local renewable energy sources, and the government can help these communities by bringing support from the development partners, and also maybe bringing support from the own companies, especially from PLN. So I think government and the SOE and also the developer can hand-to-hand back-to-back to providing this electricity access for the remote areas across Indonesia.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Bermawan, for coming and telling us the insights on how we can save planet Earth, especially in this changing of the global world. And well, listener, that was the interview in VOI Talk this morning with Anand Bermawan, the advisor for energy UNDP Indonesia. And I hope the best for our planet, and of course, we can live a long life to preserve the planet Earth. And thank you so much, listener, and I'll see you in the next episodes of VOI Talk, only on Voice of Indonesia. The overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia broadcasts in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and by streaming on voanews.id and RFE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Fashion, Indonesian Wonder, Kisarani, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Music and Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
We'll be right back. Bye. and captivate the tourists who visit it. Phuket Island is one of the big islands in Bengkalis Regency, Riau Province. It is even larger than the island of Bengkalis, which is the center of government for Bengkalis Regency. The location of Phuket Island is directly adjacent to two of Indonesia's closest neighbors, namely Singapore and Malaysia. Even the Lipoto Beach is also directly adjacent to the Malacca Strait. Phuket Island is an actively populated island, so there are no opening and closing hours. The island is open 24 hours. The entrance tickets to Phuket Island vary depending on what tourism attraction you are going to visit. If only to enter Phuket Island, there are no cruises, besides boat tickets for transportation. As an island that is intended to be a tourism destination, several facilities have been built on this island, such as restaurants and inns. To get to Phuket Island, you have to cross by boat known as Ro-Ro Ship or Roll-On Roll-Off. The crossing fee is 100,000 rupees per car and 6,500 rupees per person. The crossing time is around 30 until 45 minutes. Later, to attract tourists, the Phuket Beach Festival is usually held in October. This is an annual agenda for Bengkalis Regency. In the festival, there are a number of competitions that are participated in by the local community.